Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You have me for the next 2 hours, so strap in. We're going to be talking about a number of things like we do every weekend, and it's a great honor to be back with you this Sunday. What an honor, honestly. I mean, I wake up sometimes and pinch myself that I'm able to host InfoWars on Sunday night consistently, 2 hours a week. Man, it's just it's an absolute honor. What Alex Jones has done for this country can't even be quantified, and all the other great hosts on InfoWars. Shout out to everybody out there in the audience. Talk to you guys every day of the week. See you out on the campaign trail. And I really appreciate your support and your continued appreciation of my time on this show. Today, we're going to talk. I mean, First, and on the other side of the break, we'll get into things a little more in depth. But I said it last weekend, and I'll say it again. We have to thread a needle here. I just don't know how else to say it anymore. There are a lot of conventional wisdoms we could point to, like never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. And if we look at this thing over the long haul, if we zoom out far enough and we look at what's happened in this country over the last, 15, 20 years, let's even shorten it to the last 4 years during the illegitimate Joe Biden regime, and just the radical political shift that's taken place in this country. Never interrupt your enemies when they're making a mistake. Our enemies were making a mistake at every turn, right before our very eyes. I mean, we were winning at the schools. Parents were finally waking up that the transgender thing in the schools was getting out of control. They were sticking men in steel octagons and cages with women, letting men beat women unconscious in MMA fights and you know, whatnot. Black people were finally saying, hey, come on. I mean, how many times are we going to listen to the Democrats tell us that their whites are the only ones who aren't racist? The illegal immigration was, you know, being unmasked as the real political weapon that it is. And black communities all across this country, major cities all across this country, were starting to have rightful questions about the illegal immigration, the unfettered, unlimited illegal immigration into this country. You had candidates like me who won endorsements and nominations in the 2024 cycle against the RINO establishment, against the Republican establishment, against the Uniparty, on campaign slogans like borders, debt, forever wars. We got to close the borders. We got to start to pay back this debt. We got to start to figure out this debt. We got to plug this leak. And we got to stop getting involved in these forever wars. Everything was going in our favor. Then, as a cherry on top, they got real desperate, tried to kill the president of the United States. Failed, couldn't stop there, killed maybe a future president of the United States in Charlie Kirk. And then, you know, God bless us. We start these deportations. We get major pushback, and Steve Bannon was calling this out a year and a half ago, that the deportations was going to be the real precipice to see where everybody was. And he was right. And then we even started to get that back under control, started to corral that narrative. We're still trying to corral that narrative in a sense with the SAVE Act. Broad bipartisan support from the people on voter IDs. Now we're at war. Now we're at war. A war that a majority of the American people don't want to be involved in. We're going to talk about the implications of that politically, especially since I'm running for United States Senate here in the state of Minnesota, and much more as we get through the 2 hours. As I said before, I'm Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dottie for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's an honor to be back with you again. And we have to talk about the war. Before the break, I said, you never let your never interrupt your enemies while they're making a mistake. And our enemies were making so many mistakes, we could barely count them. We could barely keep track. I mean, the Democrats had abandoned all sense of reality. They had abandoned all sense of a shared reality. They were going to double and triple down on the transgender ideology. They were going to double and triple down on unlimited illegal immigration. They were going to double and triple down on the intelligence coup that was ran against President Trump. They were going to double and triple down on the Russia propaganda. They were going to double down on their shilling of the CCP and the Chinese Communist Party and the communist, political agenda. They were going to double and triple down on the entire gamut. They're still willing to double and triple down if we'll let them. If we'll let them. Never interrupt your enemies while they're making a mistake. They were making grave political errors. And I hear all these people talk about political strategy, all these experts and consultants, and, oh, hey, Royce, you pay us $10,000 a month from the campaign, we could pinpoint exactly what the people want to hear. I mean, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you don't really need that kind of thing. And I do understand, I want to say this on the front end of the show, I understand the peculiar situation we've put President Trump in. We've all done this. Let's be clear. We've all done this. Alex Jones, people like Alex Jones can say, I've been warning you for 30 years. I mean, he could actually say, I'm not responsible for this, because he was a watchman on the wall and he tried to tell us over and over and over what was going to happen. So people like him could actually, pull back from the culpability and say, nah, I'm not responsible for this. But for most of us, for the most part, we did this. We let this happen. We pushed our country, our people, this entire global society to a place where it's hard for people to decipher what's true and what's not anymore. I was just telling somebody earlier today, we're at a point now, and every man comes to this point in his life where all the questions are tough, all the questions are difficult, and all the answers are shit. All the answers are terrible. There are no easy answers. There are no easy questions. There are no easy answers. That's where we are. And this war doesn't help one bit. I mean, we already have a crisis of culture, a crisis of politics, a crisis of spirit. We have a psychological crisis in this country. We already have those things happening. War, the fog of war and the law of unintended consequences only makes things worse. Makes it very difficult to see who your friends are from your enemies. To decipher your friends from your enemies. The Middle East is a perfect example. As a matter of fact, I don't know a time in the last 60 years where we could properly decipher our friends from our foes in that specific region. Worldwide. I mean, the level of double cross and triple cross that is being played in this jump ball, this geopolitical jump ball, is of biblical proportions. How do we know what anybody's true intentions are? We don't. We don't. We're just lying to ourselves. And in some ways, you could look at the results and infer the motive. I get that. I mean, you can look at somebody's actions and deduce a lot about what their intentions are, but people are slick. We're in a confusing place in this nation's history. Confusing place politically. I mean, look what's going on down there in Texas. I can't for the life of me figure out who voted for John Cornyn. I have half a mind to think that the elections in Texas aren't even real based on what I'm seeing, honestly, because I can't based on the I can't find any Republicans, even in Minnesota, which is, you know, typically tilts a more plumb line Republican uniparty sort of conservative. Every room I go into, Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, persona non grata. Now, maybe they're lying to me because they know I'm the ultra MAGA, you know, right wing, far right, you know, Christo fascist extremist. Okay, maybe they're lying to me because they're Minnesota nice. And there may be some truth to that. But unanimously, at least, you know, public facing, nobody has any appetite for Mitch McConnell, John Thune, or John Cornyn. Who voted for John Cornyn in Texas? I'm not talking about how close the race is and the fact that we obviously want Ken Paxton to come out on top here, you know, as this thing, you know, finalizes. That aside, I would like to know who in Texas is actually voting for John Cornyn. And it's important. It's not inconsequential. Because if there are even close to 50% of the Republicans who are voting for John Cornyn in the great Lone Star State, it tells us exactly why we're in the crisis we're in. People haven't had enough. People look out and they see what they want to see, or they see what's advantageous for their own personal agenda. They have no real sense of national honor, sacred honor, the good of our country. This Texas election, it just blows my mind, you know, and it's so good for the theater. It's, oh, you know, Ken Paxton and John Cornyn, they're neck and neck. And now we're going to this nail biting runoff where the third party, Hunt is voters, the 13% that he got is going to be split. And which way will his voters vote in the end? I mean, I just look at the whole thing as a Greek tragedy that Texas even has the, you know, a constituency that would vote for John Cornyn at all. In any sizable majority, it blows my mind. Political confusion is my point. Perfect example there in Texas. Where people are on the political spectrum, right? I mean, you got, and again, President Trump, for example, there are two types of people. There are people who oppose President Trump, the person, and then there are people who oppose President Trump, the person who represents a set of ideas, a certain set of ideas. And there are people out there on the left who may be sour on President Trump, the person, the personality, but may agree with the ideas, and vice versa. There may be people out there who don't necessarily agree with all of the ideas, but they love President Trump, the personality. And some of those people are coming toward the principle. President Trump has created a situation, or had created a situation, where those people came toward the principle. Look at the Tulsi Gabbards and the RFK Juniors, and even J.D. Vance. And you could take that, you know, with a grain of salt, or however you want to take it. But people who had previously been staunch opponents of President Trump softened on President Trump and the ideas. Then you have people who never liked President Trump because they never liked President Trump and because they never liked the ideas. Scary enough, there are more people out there, in my opinion, more consequential people out there, in my opinion, when it comes to us making headway in saving the country, that came from the left and softened on President Trump and the ideas, versus the Republicans that were always closer to President Trump on paper politically, but never believed in the person or the ideas to begin with. And that is a type of confusion that puts us in an awkward spot. Like, how do we deal with that? How do we sort that out going forward? How do we tell who's who, even here at home? Hold the principle. You move people toward the principle. You have to hold the principle and move people toward the principle. And all of those who are moving close to the principle, we want you. The people who are around us moving away from the principle or who don't believe in the principle first, we have to be able to properly identify the principle and put those principles up on referendum, whether it's in our conversations, our political conversations on a daily basis, or in this case, 2026 midterm elections. We have to properly identify the principle and put those principles up on referendum for referendum and see how people react. See where people stand on the principle today. Give me a prostitute from 25 years ago who had 3 abortions. If her principle is different today and if she's willing to hold the principle today, if she believes in the principle today, we want her. I'll take her and 1,000 other like her over a John Cornyn who's going to smile in my face, drape himself in the R, the Republican Party, or the cloth of Christ, and stab this country in the back every time he gets an opportunity. Every chance he gets. And that's hard for some of us to deal with. See, and I'm in the Republican Party, and I'm going to these BPOU conventions and all of these other Republican events, and they have the same type of candidates, the same prototypes. You can come up to the stage and read from the same list of talking points, and it's all so dry. I mean, seriously, it's like nails on a chalkboard. It's nothing personal. It's not about their personality or even that what they're saying isn't true to a degree. It's just like a cheat sheet. There's nothing novel about it. There's nothing authentic. There's nothing genuine. There's certainly nothing transformative because there's nothing risky enough in the times that we live in to be transformative. And that is a diagnosis of the political situation as a whole, but on an individual level as well. I'm going to all of these events, and we're still living in this Ronald Reagan the hypnosis. We're living in a Ronald Reagan hypnosis still here in the Republican Party. Oh, if we agree on 80% of the issues, then I guess we're all good. Oh, really? Oh, really? As though the 20% of issues couldn't be consequential. Well, let's flip that on its head. If we're going to live by a Ronald Reagan sort of Pareto distribution, if we're going to live by a Ronald Reagan Pareto distribution, then how much of the country is in favor of this war? I'll wait. How much of the country is in favor of this war? And if we agree with the rest of the country on 80% of the issues or on 80% of a given issue, can we not find some type of middle ground with that 80% that agrees on this issue? Like voter ID for a prime example. With all the polarity that exists in our American culture, with all of the political polarization that exists in our American culture, people seem to agree that voter ID makes sense. So let's focus all of our energy on that by our Ronald Reagan philosophy. You broaden the scope to the entire American public. Oh, No. If we agree on the 80% of an issue or all of the issues within the Republican Party, then the Republican Party can go forward with the same uniparty establishment that broke the back of this country. I'm sick of it. Guys, I'm just sick of it. Love the president. You know I support you 1,000%. I was the guy in 2024 at the Big Three on CBS Sunday afternoon. No prompt, no encouragement from anybody. Trump 2024, black Sharpie on the side of my bald-headed dome, and I took the scrutiny from the entire mainstream media, and I laughed right back in their face because I knew the truth and I understand the principle. The principle is this. The mainstream media is a part of the permanent political elite in this country. They try to break the country. Why? Because they see themselves as above the country and the countrymen and women. Very simple. It's not rocket science. And in large part, that's why President Trump has been iconicized in history the way he has. For good reason, with merit, and we're all grateful. But, and I do say but, Mr. President and the rest of the administration and a good portion of American citizens, you can't have it all ways. You can't have it all the ways. You gotta choose a lane. We're at a fork in the road, and I hate to say it, this fork in the road ain't pretty. We're looking down two dark paths, two dark roads, two dark lonely roads. Do we need to be in this war? Is this war necessary? Is it essential? And I think I'm pretty even-handed on it. I understand. Yeah, the Iranians are openly saying Russia's helping us. Putin and Xi and Kim Jong-un and you know, the Iranians are all in a circle, smiling with their burn American, burn the West, burn America t-shirts. I got it. I understand. It's not about do we disagree with these people or are they our enemies? Are they our enemies? That's not the question. The question is it necessary right now? Well, in some respects, that doesn't matter anymore. So once you cross a line, you're committed. And now it becomes hard to figure out if we're staying in this war because we actually think we can win, if it's even possible to win, or because we're trying to save face. And I'm not talking about for the mainstream media or approval ratings, because we're trying to save face on a global stage where there are real consequences and ramifications once you cross into the fog of war, once conflicts and hatred and disagreement becomes kinetic. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. This Israel thing's out of control. It is completely and utterly out of control. And I said it was going to get out of control 4 years ago when I was standing outside of the Federal Reserve here in Minnesota. And I said, I'm fighting against globalism, the globalist agenda. And the Star Tribune, the Minnesota Star Tribune, the paper of record here in the belly of the beast, had subtext in the article that said globalism is a dog whistle for anti-Semitism. I knew then that Israel was going to become the dividing line. And here we are. Here we are. It's not even about Israel or the Jews. It's about us. The same way it's not necessarily about the CCP. It's the fact that we sold our manufacturing out to the CCP. It's not about the Europeans. It's our affection with Europe. Our cuck-like affection with Europe and the royal family. It's us. We're the problem. It's not all of them. Of course Israel is going to use us to their benefit. Of course Israel will take all the cash we'll keep shoveling them. Of course the CCP will manufacture as many action figures and dildos and butt plugs as we could possibly buy. Of course Europe will siesta as long as American citizens are willing to pay the tab based on this idea of Westphalian citizenship. Do we need to be in a war right now? I'm a Catholic. You all know, or at least if you watch the show, you know. And I hear Christians saying Catholics aren't Christian. Excuse me? You watch your mouth. These Catholic theologians had this stuff sorted out. That's part of the problem in this country. I'm just going to keep it real. And I love my Protestant brothers and sisters, and I pray that the schism between the Catholics and the Protestants can be solved, can be healed, so that we could fight against our real enemies, which are more inside the wire than they are anywhere else in the world. But we live in this strange polarity today where on one side, to the extreme, we have transgender jihadists. And on the other side, we have Christians who believe in Israel more than they love Jesus Christ, who have more loyalty to Israel than they do Jesus Christ. And that's not an opinion. It's not conjecture. It's certainly not a conspiracy theory. So, whoa, Royce, what are you saying? What do you mean? Yeah, it's more loyalty to Israel than to Jesus Christ. No, our loyalty to Israel is because of Jesus Christ. Excuse me? What kind of racket is this? We're a nation who does not believe in our Lord and Savior, is propped up in priority higher than our Lord and Savior. And when I say higher in priority, I mean the mockery of Jesus Christ in our own streets because of our own lack of political participation has reached a critical point. You tell me how you square the circle that a Christian country, a country that was predominantly Christian, lost our country to communists and Satanists. How a predominantly Christian continent like Europe lost their continent to communists and Muslims. It's not just that we didn't prioritize our country. It's not just that we didn't prioritize our continent or our heritage or our culture or our customs or our borders. It's that we didn't even prioritize Christ, because if we would have prioritized Christ, at all the points along the way, we would have stopped and said, whoa, if we let you keep going there, we're going to lose Christ. We're going to lose the church. We're going to lose the faith. We're going to lose the moral and ethical fabric of this country. We're going to lose the foundations. Nope. We let them shame us. I posted earlier today, I'm driving down the highway here in Minnesota, and it's about 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm taking a morning drive. I want to get some fresh air. And out of the window, I look to my right, and there's a church, and I use the term church loosely in this instance. There's a building portrayed as a church with a beautiful cross of our Lord and Savior. And on the wall hanging below it is a transgender LGBTQ BIPOC flag, three times the size of the cross. And it hit me like a 2,000-ton anvil. This is how you lose your country to communists and Muslims. Has nothing to do with the Ayatollah. Respectfully, it has nothing to do with the Ayatollah. The way you lose your country to communists and Satanists and Muslims is when the church starts to fly transgender LGBTQ BIPOC flags three times the size of the cross. Call me a Christo nationalist. I'm proud of it. Some very important Catholic theology to help sort out this mess we find ourselves in on the other side of the break. You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be right back in a moment, bringing you some good old-fashioned Catholic theology. Stay tuned.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexShowsStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigly. The backup Alex Shows Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexShowsStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexShowsStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexShowsStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win, man. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring. Or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on TheAlexShowsStore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlexShowsStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
They don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
The Alex Jones Show, Sunday night live here on InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White, and I'm the Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And again, nobody should be abandoning President Trump. Why? Said it before. I'll say it here tonight. The man was touched by God. We can't forget that. With the speed of information, with the pace of everything that comes at us, and the content and the 15-second reels and the doom scrolling, and you know, everything's getting so sophisticated, creating these echo chambers. Nobody can really see beyond their own screen, lack of a better way to put it. Never forget, President Trump was touched by God. And so there's a divine appointment and calling on him that transcends the knowledge of man to a very, very high degree. It can only be defined as a supernatural degree. I'm not throwing away my box here, my exclusive one-of-one Trump 2024 cereal box. I'm not getting rid of my MAGA hat. No. That'd be like to disregard the American flag, or Christianity, or a basketball team, if you play a sport or anything in your life, because things don't start to not go your way. I was just coaching this afternoon my 15U traveling basketball team, and one of the things I talked to them about was body language, temperament. It's like you can miss a shot, you could turn it over, somebody could score on you, things can start to go wrong. And most of the time, college coaches don't look at mistakes; they look at how people respond to mistakes, how they deal with mistakes, how they deal with adversity. And as the age-old adage reads, as it says, what makes a man is not falling down, it's how you get back up, and how it's not that you have adversity, it's how you deal with adversity, how you overcome adversity. The MAGA movement's on the ropes. Let's just call it for what it is. The MAGA movement is on the ropes. And we're going to have to channel some Muhammad Ali now. We're going to have to find some comfort on the ropes. We're going to have to find some stability on the ropes, some strategy on the ropes. The first thing is we got to have some temperance. Temperance. Now, it doesn't mean we should be any less passionate. Doesn't mean we should be any less invested. In fact, to resign from the thing altogether would be the exact wrong response. Oh, it's all chaotic. I quit. No. That's what Judeo-Buddhists do. That's a Judeo-Buddhist philosophy. Oh, everything is nothing. And if nothing is everything, then all things can be through you. All you have to do is just meditate 7 times a day. No. We're not Judeo-Buddhists. We're Christian nationalists. We have to put our shoulder to the wheel. We have to speak the truth. That is a necessary component. Continue to speak the truth. But do not abandon ship and do not abandon your post. The only way we lose in the end is if we quit. That's what the Iranians think, isn't it? Surely they're showing us a bit of their own resolve. They think the only way they lose in the long run is if they quit. The question is, do we have that kind of resolve here? Or have we created this sort of, you know, esoteric political theater that transcends the 1, 2, 3, the basics? Let's go back to basics for a second, because I want to appeal to the President of the United States, his administration, and all the other American men and women out there who are listening to this broadcast this evening. I want to talk to people about the great Saint Augustine. In the fifth century, Saint Augustine famously wrote The City of God. It's an incredible literary work, both theologically and philosophically, regarded as one of the great literary works in the history of Western civilization. City of God. And a couple of important ideas emerged from that work, from the City of God. In it, Saint Augustine, this is just beautiful. I mean, it's just as good as writing possibly gets. He said, a brief and true definition of virtue is rightly ordered love. A brief and true definition of virtue is rightly ordered love. It's an idea that would become known as Ordo Amoris, later developed by the great St. Thomas Aquinas. Order Caritatis, the order of charity, the order of love, the order of charity. And essentially what it says is there is a rightful order to both love and charity. Just like we have the natural order from God down to the child. There is a rightful order to love and charity. And the rightful order is first that which is most local to us. The order goes God, yourself, your immediate family, your loved ones, your children, your spouse, your parents, and then your village or your neighborhood or your immediate community. Everything else after that. the proper Christian orientation of love and charity. And we could say of family and faith is that which is most local to us first. And it expands out in concentric circles. What is the proper order of charity? Now, this may be the best Christian theological or philosophical justification for an America First policy approach. Some people won't even touch it. Why? Because I don't know, Catholics aren't Christians. And we know there's a problem in Rome, in the Vatican, with the deep church. We know the pedophilia ran rampant through the Catholic Church. We know that there are just as many woke Catholic churches that won't put the LGBTQ flag up on the side of their parishes, but have a sort of liberal-leaning view of the faith, the same as the Methodist or Presbyterian churches. They're just a little more secret about it, vis-a-vis recent comments and positions by a few popes. So we're not saying the Catholic Church is perfect. I don't think anybody red-pilled in the America First movement would say the Catholic Church is without scrutiny, rightful scrutiny. However, to discredit some of the sophisticated, highly sophisticated theological and philosophical circle squaring that went on between people like the great St. Augustine or St. Thomas Aquinas is foolish. It's absolutely foolish. The proper order of charity is first that which is most local to us. There's not a more America First Christian idea developed in the history of human civilization. Because our charity and our love is so disordered right now. It's an embarrassment. We should be ashamed. It's so bad. We have such a disordered love and charity. It's heretical. Again, it has nothing to do with the Jews. It has nothing to do with Israel. It has to do with us. Our order of charity is all off. We've given our nation's financial capital, the world's financial capital, to a transgender jihadist. Okay, I'm sorry, a trans activist jihadist, to be more accurate. We've given the greatest city on earth, the financial capital of the entire world, to a trans activist jihadist. We're worried about Israel? And that's not even to talk about the military realities. And look, who knows? Maybe tomorrow, you know, we wheel out the Death Star out there in lower Earth's orbit. It wouldn't shock me at this point to see look up one night and see, you know, the real life version of the Death Star with a mad sized cannon direct energy weapon, and we're going to completely blow Iran off the face of the planet. It wouldn't shock me at this point. I mean, who knows what we're going to wheel out? That's what war kind of becomes, is an unveiling of advanced military technology, and it's already started to happen here in this short skirmish. And maybe we just plow on through. Doesn't look that way right now. We hope so, because we're already in it, and we don't want to see any more service members killed, and we surely don't want to see boots on the ground. So we have to hope for the best case scenario, but we also have to prepare for the worst culturally. As a commentator, as somebody who has the responsibility to speak to the American people with truth and assess what's actually going on, I hope we win the war in a short, you know, concise fashion. Because our country's in a war, and why wouldn't we want to cheer for our country? We certainly wouldn't want to cheer against our country. We certainly don't want to root against our president. or the Secretary of War, the Secretary of State, or any of these other people. We don't want to cheer against America. But we also want to deal with the realities of what's in front of us. Doesn't look like the war is ending rather quickly, to say the to put it, you know, mildly. It's because the Iranians are, you know, the Persians. I mean, you have Persia, which was a, you know, one of the historic dynasties in human history, and then you add some radical Islam, some real faithful Islam on top of it, and you have a people who are very proud and willing to die, as they've shown already. And I understand where President Trump is in, you know, just as an aside, as I walk through this and you're like, well, I can't tell what side he's really on of the deal. Good, because I'm not trying to make a claim. I'm just thinking out loud here on Sunday evening, if that's okay with everybody. I'm working through it myself here in front of you. I understand what President Trump is saying. He's saying the entire West has been getting pushed around by Iran, by China, by Russia, by North Korea, by all these people who we give all this money to, and they have the audacity to yell, death to America, death to the West. Death to the West, death to America. Are you kidding me? Oh, no. Oh, we'll be hitting back. And there's a Christian crusader in me. Don't get me wrong. There's a Christian crusader in me that says, to hell with it. Let's just go. Let's just go. Let's get it on. Because in some ways, it is inevitable that we're going to get it on. It's not like if we left these people to all their own devices, they wouldn't try and kill us. Surely they would. And we all know that. You can never turn your, you can never really turn your back on an enemy, or you shouldn't, let's say. Never give an enemy your back. It's true of life. It's true of jujitsu. It's true of war. It's pretty much a universal truth. Abel turned his back on his own brother, and look how that turned out. So we know you shouldn't turn your back on your enemy. The question is to prioritize America first for the foreseeable future in a very strict sort of way. Is that actually turning our back on our enemy? Or is what we're doing now a form of blinding ourselves to the real dangers? And when I say the real dangers, I don't just mean the CCP who hides back behind the Iron Curtain there, who hides back behind the Great Wall of China and has all of this proxy influence on Iran. And yet we still come out before the American people and say that Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism. Square that circle for me. Am I stupid? Am I dumb? I'm not. I'm sorry. It's an insult to my intelligence. Stop saying it. Stop saying it. It's not helping anything. It doesn't help anything to say that. Iran is not the number one state sponsor of terrorism. The CCP is. Say it correct. But we can't say it correct. We can't say it full throat. We can't say it straightforward, because we would much rather go to war with Iran and pretend we're in some type of quasi-proxy, asymmetrical, pre-World War kinetic fight than just go ahead and roll to the front door of Beijing. And, you know, we could square that circle and say, oh, well, hey, a full-blown kinetic war with Beijing is much different than a full-blown kinetic war there in Iran. And okay, fine. That's true. You could say that with perfect utility. The point is, when you zoom out, given that truth, what is the long-term goal? Now, if President Trump's thought process is, hey, we're going to go to hemispheric defense. We're going to go to a hemispheric strategy. But before we leave the Middle East, we're going to kick them in the nuts. We're going to leave Israel as the dominant force there in the entire Middle East African region, because we have more opposition with radical Islam than we do Israel. I get it. I understand the logic. I got to be honest. And there's no but. I just understand that logic. We're going to go to a hemispheric defense. We're going to go to a hemispheric strategy. But before we leave the Eurasian landmass before we pull out of Mackinder's world island theory, before we close the book, before we close the book, we turn the page on the geographical pivot of history, we're going to kick these Muslims right in their nuts. Part of me likes that. I just got to tell you, in full transparency, part of me likes that. Go ahead, kick them right in the nuts before we roll out of there. The question is, do we plan to roll out? See, and that's an important distinction to make. And it's right for the American people to look at the situation and go, I don't think the plan is really for us to roll out of there at any point in the near future. And that's an entirely different proposition. With all due respect, that is an entirely different proposition. And the way you can track what I'm saying is, people were against this, the last skirmish we had in Iran, but people accepted it because at the end of the day, I mean, President Trump is like on a heater in Las Vegas right now. I mean, he survives an assassination attempt, a second assassination attempt. He wins an election against all odds, getting convicted, getting sued. You know, the list goes on and on and on. The entire mainstream media waged against him again. Somehow we, the people, and the, you know, social media sort of alternative information source kicked him through, you know, pushed him through, becomes the president again, closes the border in 2 months, just seals the border right up, ends several wars around the world, rolls into Venezuela, plucks out the president and his wife, with the whole world saying, you can't do that. Yes, I can. I just did it. We just did it. Okay. Do you understand? I mean, the man is riding at the level 99 of 100. He's on the final boss of this video game. And the final boss is always your own arrogance. The final boss is always your own ego. It's not just the president, it's me. It's the collective consciousness of the American people. We the people, vox populi, vox Dei. The final boss is always your own arrogance. Look at Alexander the Great. Look at Napoleon. Look at Genghis Khan. Look at any great leader of any great dynasty throughout history. Look at Julius Caesar. The final boss is always your own arrogance and your own ego. And I'm not saying we can't decapitate or defang the Iranian regime. I'm not saying we can't degrade their military capabilities. I'm not saying we can't kick them in the nuts before we leave the Eurasian landmass. The question is, do we plan to leave? Because if we don't plan to leave, the inevitable outcome is that war is going to happen right there on the doorsteps of Beijing. That is the inevitable climax of what we're doing right now. Is that what we want? Maybe. And as I say that, the realization hits, maybe. Maybe the real holy war, maybe the real hill to die on is two diametrically opposed views of human existence and how to formulate a government and what freedom is really all about between us and the Chinese Communist Party. Maybe. And maybe Thucydides' trap is real. And maybe we are on a collision course with China. Maybe we are. I'll say this. If we ever plan to win a war with China, a war against China, win in a war with China or against a war, against China. It's not going to be that we roll over there and pull out President Xi. I mean, we can't regime change our way to peace. The same way we can't vote our way to sanity. We can't regime change our way to peace around the world any more than we can vote our way back to sanity here at home. We can Band-Aid, we can plug a few leaks, and maybe that's necessary. And maybe that's what we're doing right now. But maybe we actually think we can play this thing all the way out to the end where we, what, change the regime of Russia and China and Iran and North Korea, and we're going to hold the Eurasian landmass while our European counterparts have lost their balls? Where Africa is starting to give their continent, their countries, to a neocolonial Chinese project? And Israel has mad-sized dreams about greater Israel, yet they have to phone a friend in order to get it done. We have to really think about what we're doing and what is the long-term goal. I don't know. It's above my pay grade. But I know what questions to ask. And I know what answers to listen for. And we say this is going to be a quick regime change, and then it isn't. And then all of a sudden we're going to go in, and now we're going to, what? We're going to put troops on the ground and take the uranium. What in the world? Or what just happened here? By its own definition, it becomes a forever war. Again. And if we've just kicked out the forever war pillar of this party's platform and this movement, I think we're losing the plot. Honestly, with all due respect, I support the president. I'm going to continue to support the president. But part of being supportive is telling people the truth. Everything President Trump is doing for this country right now should be celebrated. Except this. The border, ICE, the deportations, the tariffs, the economy, the whole gamut, election integrity, all of it should be celebrated, except for this. And if that makes me persona non grata, hey, feel free to kick me out of the movement. The ideas live in my heart, that which is most local to us first. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. This is InfoWars, Alex Jones Show, live here on Sunday night. We'll be right back.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th. at theofficersquare.com and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.